reminder to the public that this meeting is being recorded somehow, some way. Chair, ask your indulgence because I have a head cold. I'm slightly smarter than a well-trained Labrador tonight, so I'd like no back talk from anybody.
Good boy.
Is there anything anybody would like pulled off the consent agenda? If not, I'll take a motion to approve it.
So moved.
Second?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Governance policy. Nick and JJ, thank you for your comments. We worked through this. Does anybody have anything to say about this? I'm a little bit confused about which one we would approve here. We've got two of them.
Thank you for asking my question.
Yeah. JJ, the second one looks like it had most of your edits in there, which I was totally fine with.
The only thing I add is I thought we ought to probably have what our legal responsibilities are for that.
Sense.
Not all of them are appropriate for this document. I just did a few all in there.
Yeah.
But for sure, the big one was adequate and standard firefighting emergency response apparatus for personal housing and facilities, which is really our duty by law. And I thought maybe that ought to be a pretty critical component of what everything we bounce off of is.
So Nick, I think if you look at the first one, without all the italics and stuff, this is what we worked on. And it looks like all JJ did under the mission statement was to put in the legal stuff. And everything else appears to me to be
no,
the same.
No, I did something else. I did some wordsmithing on the how we manage the fire chief kind of thing.
Oh, yes. Goals established by the fire chief?
Yeah, talked about the fire chief is, in normal board business, we're supposed to set the general strategy and assign the fire chief to execute that strategy. And I think the language I put in was to develop that strategy with the fire chief and then turn them loose, give them the resource to meet the strategy, and then hold them accountable to it.
Board discussion?
I guess I'm not quite following. Still on the first changes here that I haven't quite got digested, and we're on to the second one. So we perhaps start again.
Yeah, so I think Nick, when you and I met, we produced this version, the first version right here, right. In your agenda.
Right.
And so we had the mission statement, which we revised to really be focused on the board rather than on the operating aspects of the department. And then we put in some goals. And then we put in board process.
Right.
And Jason, in an email, included into the mission statement this section, powers and duties of trustees, which come from Montana Code Annotated. So letters A through F and number two are totally new. And then if I'm understanding JJ correctly, we did some wordsmithing in the board process section, which I can't find, because I see the last bullet point that Nick and I worked on is essentially the same.
Alternatively.
Yeah, well, it is. It's if you go up from the bottom, now we're looking on page two of the board process. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bullet points up. JJ's added something called alternatively. The board collaborates with the fire chief. And when I read these changes in draft comment, I have no problem with them. I think they're absolutely fine. And again, this is something that we will be revising every year, or reviewing these policies. So, trustees, take as much time as you want with this, but I would suggest this is a really good improvement over what we had. And I'd be happy to have a motion to approve the second document as presented after you've had time to review it and ask questions.
May I?
Of course.
I guess I think it's all good what Jason has entered in here, but I think it's redundant. I don't think we need that. We're talking about a mission statement. And the mission statement is what we said it was. he said, we propose the rest of this stuff is laws and stuff that we have that are part of code and so on and so forth. We do have suitable bylaws and all of that. We have all of this stuff. I don't think that's really necessary to add to the mission statement. Now, it may be necessary to have it in here, but I wouldn't, if it's in there, I certainly wouldn't put it under the mission statement because I don't think that is part of the mission statement.
Well, I don't read it as being part of the mission statement, and maybe it could use to have another header that would say something like, you know, the powers of the trustees are derived from, and you're essentially then citing Montana Code annotated. And again, I don't feel strong. I can go either way on this. I think they're both fine. I think they're both a huge improvement. We can revise them again in a year if we'd like to. When we're thinking about the audience, when we were revising, you say, Jason, we were thinking about members of the public who wanted to know why the trustees exist and what they're actually doing. So it seems to me to be some efficacy to have reference to MCA, because that's why we're here at the end of the day. That's the reason we're able to approve budgets and do all this kind of stuff. So again, I don't feel very strongly about it. I think we should approve one of these two tonight and just move on, and we can work on it again in January when we review all the policies.
Okay, may I respond?
Of course.
I guess I would, you know, all we're saying is good stuff that we have. I would put that with a title underneath board process as a sort of an addendum, because that's where, if you want to say this is what we want to go into the legal part of our board thing, but I think that thing does not fit the mission statement. We have a mission statement, we have the goals, and we have the board process. That's our governance policy, and if we want an authority for the governance project for it, I could say we'd use that title.
So maybe grab the whole thing he did and put it in the back of the board process.
Right, from 733-105. That's sort of given it some legs or foundation, and I think it's better to have that kind of information than not having it. But I think in terms of a governance policy for our board, I think the way we had it is fine. And the accountability, if alternatively, I'm not sure if I really understand the range of that, but I don't have any problem with it. So that's part of the board process. So I think that's fine. So that would be the recommendation that would be.
Okay, so then a motion, Nick, if I can frame it for you, is there's a motion on the table to create a header, bold and underlined, called authority, which would appear just above 7-33-215-2105. That entire section would be cut and pasted to the end of the document.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Cheryl, did you get all that? That makes sense?
I did.
Okay, thanks.
There's under section B of that, I think that is a mission statement established by law. There is two alternatives in the board process that I added that are alternatives to the bullet points above them. And I don't know that read correctly if they just got thrown in instead of decided whether to replace the bullet above them.
After we did that nice motion?
It was a nice motion. Gave you the authority.
What would you like to do?
Just
do you want to
point it out.
Do you want, all right.
You're taking the first three and lumping them into the alternative. Is that what you're saying, Jason?
No. Bullet you're point three, there's, I have an alternative to bullet
to,
point
to
three.
To bullet point three.
Yeah. And the same with bullet point four, there's an alternative to that.
What do you guys want to do?
And down below we...
So the question is, if you label, just number this, bullet point three and bullet point four, which one do you like better?
I like four better.
I like four better too.
That's why I did.
Okay, which one? I like four better too.
Yeah.
Everybody like four better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll strike bullet point three. It will disappear from the top down. It says confine the board's job. That'll disappear. And the word alternatively will disappear as well.
With the colon.
Yeah, and the colon goes away too. Now, what was the other alternative?
The next bullet down.
Bullet point five?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the end of that, middle of that second sentence, the I had some alternative word. Okay. For that. It was wordsmith.
Okay, so that seems to me to be a wordsmith, yes. Precisely. Does anybody feel strongly about which wordsmith you'd like?
I like the first one better.
Okay, I do too. Justin?
Yeah, the alternative one just spells out more clearly if people want it.
Anybody have any, do you have any heartburn? That's where we go. All right, let's go with, let's delete everything after fire chief. So an alternative colon, the board authority, that all gets deleted. Is that good with you, Cheryl?
Yes.
All right. Okay, thank you all. Final budget. Okay, we got a memorandum from somebody in the county office saying we're supposed to return forms by May 23rd and then June 22nd, so we missed those deadlines. Can we get some help on this? What are we approving tonight, and what are you? Walt had an email that I thought spelled it out pretty clearly, but I'm not sure which one of these documents we're supposed to.
The most important thing that you're approving tonight is your request of Max Mills, which historically the board has done every year. And then the final budget as drafted by Walt, titled Final Budget here, Agenda Item 2. Nothing has changed on the expense side of the budget, and there was adjustments for the tax revenues as presented by the county last week. We weren't sure if we were going to get those actual numbers by this meeting, but we did.
Nice.
So you're approving Walt's draft final budget and approving the resolution for Max Mills.
And that will be require our signature on these forms, is that correct?
Yes.
Tonight?
Yes, and on the resolution there should be.
Yes, got that right.
Resolution
here
as well. Yes, sir.
Okay, board discussion.
Move to accept the final budget and Max Mill.
Motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Is everybody clear on what we're approving here? So, Walt's budget, which is in our packet here. We're going to approve that, and then we're going to do the maximum mills, which will require our signature on this and on the, I guess it's just on the resolution here. Is everybody good with that? Questions, discussions? We have a motion on the table. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. Okay, sound system in the conference room. Is that you, Nick?
Well, I think it is and isn't. I think the last word on that was Jason was going to talk with the vendor and discuss with him and have some look at the situation, decide what might be best. I guess we need to hear what you have to learning from. What's his name again?
Gino. Gino from Music Villa, who Nick had spoken to earlier, had made a suggestion, and then Nick also was entertaining some other options for, you know, wireless systems that could be, you know, gotten off of Amazon or wherever. I know Gino personally. I'll disclose that. So I feel like I could get a pretty honest assessment from him of it. And after talking to him, hold on one second. Is that anything?
Medical.
Okay. After talking to him, he believed that that the system that he proposed for us, which is a wired, a very conventional system, would be the most robust system. He says the wireless systems will work. And let me back up. I also talked to Patrick Lonergan from Emergency Management. He's a very tech-savvy guy. He said that one of the issues with the simple wireless systems is it has to have multiple channels for each microphone, because if not, if two people talk at the same time, somebody won't get picked up. And so to get one with multiple channels gets very expensive in a wireless system. If everybody could contain themselves and never have two people talking at the same time, that simple system would work. I know, for me personally, I can't keep my mouth shut enough to wait till somebody's done talking, so it could become a problem. So Gino suggested that, you know, with a conventional wired system, as he suggested, we wouldn't have that issue, and it would be a very robust system that would last and do whatever we wanted it to do. So that was his recommendation, and he said he really had no skin in the game because it's not really what Music Villa does. It's just not their forte. They'd be doing it kind of for us to put something like that together. The one thing he did say is that in part of the deal that he had offered Nick, he was going to give us free cabling for it. And he said he'd still be happy to give us the free cabling, but he said, truth of the matter is, the reason that cabling would be free is it's very inexpensive, cheap cabling that comes, and he says, you'll be replacing it in a year and a half, so you might as well buy new cables with it. Just, again, to have a robust system that you're not messing with. So that's the feedback I got from Gino.
And do we have a, next month, can we have a bid or some idea on the price, or do we already...
Nick, what, you have some pricing still.
Yeah. Seemed to me it was around $800 for Music Villa with those cables, and I think that was going to push closer to maybe $1,000 or something.
That sounds right.
That's
yeah.
Probably what I got. Let's see what about that. I guess this is more than the stuff I already had. Music Villa, $817, which would have been be the cables that were no charge, would be 14 of those cables, so I assume that, I'm going to assume that's going to be maybe a $200, well, he had priced cables, $280 and $20 a cable, and then they said they were free, so whether that's going to be...
What does the board think about the sound system?
And then two six-channel rack mixers, which I can't see very well. Two mixers, which gives a total of 12 channels. That gives us 9 positions plus 3 extras, which would allow for either additional microphones and or one channel goes bad, then we have some spares. And so the cabling is the only difference, 1817 with what the original thing.
Board discussion.
Ready to go, don't care.
Motion. That sounds like a motion to me. Is there a second?
certainly second it. I think this was the one that I, of the three I looked at, I thought this one.
Okay, so motion on the table is to fill Music Villa. Is there any public comment on the Music Villa speaker system? More board discussion?
Question.
Yes, sir.
Call for a question.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Thank you, Nick, for all your work on that. Appreciate it. Gina's going to deliver.
All right. Was there a sense of Gino would, what do we need to do? Have Gino have something ready for us the next meeting? Go ahead.
I mean, if you want to contact him, or you just let me know if you want me to contact him, or if you want to contact him. And I think there was, I think he had to order the mixer. That's just not something they had. They just don't sell that kind of stuff. So so I think if you called him on the phone and just said, we're ready to go.
I'm glad to contact him.
Yeah.
I think you're a little busier than I am.
So one thing, I don't know if we want to or not, but her recording like this, do we want a CD deck on it? Maybe spend another couple $100 that we could hit record and it records all the channels. I don't know.
Over my head. It's up to you guys completely.
Whether you like that or just, I'm thinking if each one of us are going to have a mic, I don't know how well this picks up. I've never listened to it.
Well, why don't you ask Gino about that, how we could record through that mixer?
See if that's another option to add.
But I think we could also make that a step to A, get the microphone and get us comfortable with that, and then step up to the next one if we have to, if it's a significant price difference. But I will ask that question.
Yeah. And the karaoke screen too, right?
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important.
What's that?
The karaoke screen.
Oh, yeah.
We could tie it to the television right there. Easy.
You're the one closest to it, Mr. President.
Okay, reader board signs. Do we have any movement on that? Seems like probably the answer to that is no.
The answer is no, I have not. Between Hain and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Move to table.
Yeah, and so reader board signs, that's a different item than signage for the
system? Yes.
Okay. All right, we're just going to move on past that. Any public comment on reader board signs? Solar grants. Nick, this is you?
Yeah, I think, and John is here to...
My timing is pretty good.
Your timing is pretty good. Little background here. John, I can't remember your last name. John?
Palm.
John Palm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's see, which one?
He gets that thick one.
You get that one.
Last weekend, or a couple weekends ago, the energy meeting and thing at the fairgrounds, and we talked before a little bit about solar, and we do have the solar panels over at the other station, and in talking to John, I learned that he will explain to us that there's a deadline coming up on some pretty good grants that are possible. And certainly in the almost 12 years, 11 years I've had solar, I can tell you the price has gone from $7 to a watt down to about $1, $1.50 a watt for the panels. And so there's been a lot of improvement in both efficiency and in price. And I thought, well, maybe it's worth looking into solar. And so I asked Pete about putting it on the agenda, and he agreed. And then I, through the kindness of Cheryl and Lana, I went through the files, and in your packet is a kilowatt hour record of what we've done for electric energy load over the last 3 years, up through July, I guess. And hopefully that was helpful to John and Chelsea, who were working with him. And I did that for each of the 5 meters that we have. And I don't know which of any and how much or whatever. And I was careful to explain that we're here seeking information and possibilities, that we weren't going to make a decision to purchase anything, and that anything we did would have to be on a competitive basis. I certainly am not trying to set something up that says we have a short deadline, so therefore we have to hurry up and make a decision. What I am saying though is I think we should make a good start on taking a good faith effort at looking at solar. So with that in mind, John is going to be our teacher tonight. We don't have our karaoke mic for you, so.
Darn it. So speaking to the deadline that Nick referred to, October 31st is the next cycle for the USB grant, which on this first page you'll see cost $110,000, possible grant $88,000. So what that's saying is that Northwestern Energy collects a tax, actually all the utilities in the state collect a tax that's based on kilowatt hour usage, and it adds up to about $10 million a year. Out of that, they allocate about $800,000 to $850,000 for this program, so about $425,000 every 6 months. Then out of that $425,000 comes grants like this $88,000, possible $88,000 grant. We've had pretty good luck getting these grants. We did Sacagawea School and then Highlight, Metalark and Support Services we're doing now for the school district. And Highlight got one of these grants, and they got on a project that cost about $60,000, they got a $50,000 grant. So the school only had to pay $10,000 of that cost. So if you just look at these numbers, that would be, let's just say you went whole hog, all in, and the cost was $110,000. I think it would be less than that. It would probably be more like $90,000. But it's better to just be conservative at this stage in the game so that you know the very worst case scenario. But if you take $110,000, the idea is that then you get $88,000 in a grant. 80% is the most that the grant program will fund. And we've seen it get cut down depending on the competitiveness in the cycle. Two cycles ago, all of the grants, everybody got grants that we applied for, but they all got cut in half. So if they had $65,000, they were given $32,500 instead. And then the very next cycle, Sweetgrass High School, for example, they got $70,000 to do a ground mount that's probably only going to cost about $85,000. So out there in Big Timber. And several other Family Service and Billings, which is a big nonprofit, same thing. They got about $60,000 to do a system that's a roof mount. That's a lot less money. So anyway, good program. Deadline's October 31st. Then in terms of timing, Nick was alluding to this idea of is it rush, rush, hurry, hurry? Not at all, because with the USB grant, they'll wait as long as May of the next year to notify folks. They have a very long time that they use, mostly because the Public Service Commission decides when all this happens. So, and they give directives through the winter. So they'll award the grants, say in May. Then you have a year after that to build it. So if you got the grant, if you applied October 2019, you get the grant in the spring of 2020, you probably have till spring of 2021 to put it out to bid and build it. So you got plenty of time. It's time's not the issue. So Nick asked us to just kind of review things. He alluded to power bills that are in your packet. And we took the sum of those bills and did the annual average, and we're coming up with this building uses about 72,000 kilowatt hours a year. A 50 kilowatt system, which is the most that Northwestern Energy will let us do, and still net meter, will do about 63,000. So you would just go the biggest system you can, call it good, and you're gonna get about 88% of your load covered by that. If you flip to
real quick, so it's gonna roll the meter backwards.
Yeah.
We're not looking at it like what kind of Cotton has where it's charging the batteries for a backup.
No batteries.
Okay.
Yeah, thankfully.
No just batteries. Rolling the system, okay.
Yep. Batteries are great, but they're very inefficient and very costly. So it's just a grid-tied system.
And Montana's still a net metering state, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There is a rate case that you guys may have heard of in the news a little bit in the last few months that's before the PSC that, if it's decided, wouldn't impact for fire stations because it's only targeted at residential systems. It will be very bad for the residential solar market if Northwestern Energy prevails, but hopefully they won't. And if they do, it doesn't matter for our commercial customers. So, okay, so next one, Cottonwood. This first one, sourdough. Because you have such a big load, we just figured go a 50K system, go as big as you can. Put it on the ground, about 200 feet long. So that would be a question about what your land use projections are for this plot of land. How many acres do you have here? Two or three? Three. So, I mean, you could put it along a fence line. I haven't really looked out here to see where that would work, but...
So is this 110 in all stations or just here?
The 110 is just here.
Okay.
Yeah. Then going to the next one. So anyway, 200 feet, it's about 15 feet north-south, 200 feet east-west. You can cut it in half and do 200-foot sections and put them, but they have to be spread by about 40 feet to not shade each other. And all that being said, I mean, sourdough, you could say, well, that's great that we could make 63,000 kilowatt hours out of our, you know, we could get to 88% if we went all out, but we only want to cover 25% of the load. So then you just do a smaller system and cost less money. So it's really perfectly doable that way.
So before we leave this station, first of all, I should say that I did take his colleagues around who went into the stations and looked around. So they got some idea of what was happening. But I guess I'm quite interested in the one here, which is our biggest load, but what are the plans or what are the needs for the land and what are some thoughts about that as well as, and I think I understood it was cheaper to put them on the roof than it was on the ground.
It is, but it's a bit of a wash because you have the higher upfront cost, but you also have higher production because you can put the panels at the optimal tilt, which is the equivalent to a 10-12 roof, and none of your roofs are 10-12 roofs. So, and also you get the perfect azimuth setting. But, I mean, we could definitely look and see, model this roof, for example, maybe you could get 15, 20 kilowatts on it and call it good. And say, well, we don't want to take up a square inch of our empty land because we're going to build 8 more fire stations back there, and we don't, you know, we can't do that. So, and then this also gets to another question, which I would have to talk to the USB grant people a little bit at Northwestern Energy and just get their feeling about how they would want to see this presentation done. Would they want to say, well, would they want to look at it from the point of view of, we'll give you 50 kilowatts total, and 20 here, 15 at the next one, and 15 at the third one. Well, the third one would only take, Ray would only need 7.5. But however that math works, say it's 30 here, and 15 and 10, or whatever. Then that may be the approach. Or maybe you do go all in with this one, and you actually do two different proposals. The schools, we got grants for Bryant Central and Jim Darcy, which are the three new schools in Helena, the elementary schools. And they got, in the so they submitted three proposals. Each one they were asking for $60,000, and they were given one. So they were allowed to choose. Okay, you can do a 50 kilowatt system, you pick the school. So they're going to do that, and they're going to reapply in this next cycle and see if they can get another one. So there's a lot of room in there to strategize and figure out how to approach it. Not a lot of time, because you do want to get that application in by the 31st of October. If you get the grant, there's no obligation to do anything with it. You can just give it right back, and they will happily go to the next person in the list and reassign the money. So,
and who writes the grant?
I do, but I need your help. And I need you guys to put your heads together and think about how many different entities, agencies, nonprofits in the community would want to throw in with letters of support for the project. Because the way the Public Service Commission decides who gets the money, a lot of it depends on a head count, just raw numbers. So the schools have a huge advantage because they've got all the students and all their parents and families who are going to be touched in some way by the solar system. Also, it's taught in the class. So you guys would have to think of a way to, I would say, having relationships with whatever the closest schools are here and saying, yes, I mean, do kids ever do tours of the fire stations?
Pancake breakfast, sign-in sheet.
Well, yeah, there you go. And
hundreds of people.
Exactly, and there'll be a monitor in the lobby here that we would, you know, it's a little smaller than that beast, but, you know, an actual TV screen that could show the data production. It would show the kilowatt-hour production from the inverter. And then also, if you could get some letters of support from your friends who are teachers, principals, whatever, superintendents in the community, that they would then be able to link to the data monitoring system for these projects and use that in their classrooms. So if any of you has a science teacher friend, that's the kind of people that you're looking for. And you want, you know, maybe three different letters from the community talking about that. Who knows? Maybe either, well, I don't know if Eagle Mouth's a good example. They have a system. They're close, but I guess they don't really have a clientele that's going to be touring the fire station. So
we have a strong relationship with Eagle Mouth.
Well, yeah.
That would not be an issue.
Yeah. So maybe that is a place to go for a letter of sort of symbiotic support, you know, that you're supporting their project, they're supporting yours. But it really comes down to headcount. If you could say, yeah, we're going to touch 500 people with this system. They're going to be taught about it, even if it's just for 10 minutes when they walk through the door, or they're going to see the screen, they're going to see it on our web. Do you guys have a website?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a
state of the art.
So you'll have a button on the website that you'll probably add to it, because you obviously designed it. And
no, but it looks like I designed it.
So you have a button that'll link right to the data monitoring site so that anybody who goes to the website can then see what the systems are doing. And so it's just, you know, putting your thinking cap on for a minute and saying, how can we build the, you know, the demonstration that we have some support for the project in the community, and that we will teach about it to as many people as possible. And everything else I'll do, which is just basically a little technical report about the system. The other thing that would be that they like to see is that you guys have, this is a brand new building, so did you do any energy efficiency stuff in it? The lighting's probably energy efficient.
We have motion detector lighting. And
yeah, so just a little paragraph, kind of a synopsis of all the cool things that you guys did to show that you're proactively trying to save energy. So, I mean, they get a little funny when they're thinking that they're going to help build a system for a building that is just an energy hog, where no energy efficiency work has been done at all. So it's good to state that.
That would be that building there.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. So, and that still is below the touch of the community point. So
given one of the other questions I had was the demand metering on this building and on the cockpit station, what effect does that have on the dollar side? We're talking about four-year payback, we're talking dollars. So
you can't get at it. So this is offsetting your kilowatt hours. So you still have all of this savings, but you still have to pay the demand charge regardless.
I understand, but is there there's a demand charge, but then the energy charge besides the demand is still 11 cents. Is that the question I want to ask? I mean, if you're on a demand meter, do you get your energy
for
10
cents.
Or 8?
Yeah.
It's 8 cents, so it's less. So we're paying less right now, 8 cents. And so this dollar figure here on a payback is based on the 8 cents energy, but whatever the demand charge is.
But you're still going to have to pay the demand charge. Yeah, there's no way to really shave that. I mean, large industrial plants have, you know, $100,000 peak shaving systems, and Connex is full of batteries. In California, there are massive battery systems going in now just to peak shave with no solar. Just battery storage. You fill the batteries when the power costs little, And in the afternoon, when the price goes up, you turn everything off and let the batteries power your plant. But that doesn't really apply here because we don't have time of day demand metering.
Time of day usage.
We just have the peak for the month. Yeah, the 15-minute highest usage in the month. So, in like a town pump, we've been developing a way to sequence all of their coolers because that's where all the loads are, so that they don't come all on at the same time and they stagger in a 15-minute cycle. Haven't quite got it dialed yet, but hopefully next year we'll figure it out and be multimillionaires because there's only 10 million town pumps in this state now. So
the information you were given, there's 5 meters and probably only one or maybe only two are the ones we would really want to use solar for, but is there any synergism between having two sites? For example, we already have Cottonwood, and I think there is, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we do something or have somebody look at the Cottonwood and take it off the battery and put that onto a, is that being net meter now? Didn't we talk about that a year ago?
It is net meter, but it is still charging a smaller array of batteries than it was originally designed for. Okay. But the inverter for that system is an antique. It's an old Outback inverter, and they said that it was circling the drain, and that was an expected cost that we should consider for that system in the future, is that inverter would need to be replaced. Now, that being said, we have the meter on the building. We do have the mount for the panels out in the yard. So that would be a very inexpensive retrofit to put new panels that are more efficient and a new inverter.
That system's pretty small, though. How big is...
Yeah.
I think it's a 2.5.
It would be... Yeah. I mean, it's so small, it's hardly worth... You wouldn't write a grant for that. It's just too small. You're talking about Cottonwood, so
yes.
Yeah, Cottonwood, we were thinking on the roof, you could do an 8.5 kilowatt system, 26 panels. Or if you wanted to get at the entire load there, which is 24,000 kilowatt hours, then you'd be looking at a 19.5 kilowatt system, which is 60 panels. So, yeah, at that point, especially when you're talking, if you got an 80% grant and the cost is $45,000, I mean, that's $9,000 that you guys would be on the hook to raise, but that system would pay for itself in 3 to 4 years. So that's, you got, I mean, the scale is completely different than it was when the program was first running. We did many, many, many 6-kilowatt systems that schools around the state and other nonprofits before the grant committee decided to go big. So we were just kind of waiting for them to eventually realize, well, why not go 50 kilowatts? So now almost all the grant applicants are the full 50 kilowatt size. All of the schools, the nonprofits we've been doing, they're going as big as they can. Or in the case of Cottonwood, you'd go to the load. So the load's 24,000 kilowatt hours, so obviously you're not going to go bigger than that. Or with Ray, I mean, Ray's tiny. So, yeah.
So are these moving panels that move with the sun, or are they just fixed?
Yeah. Yeah, the tracking companies are pretty much done.
So do we want 60 panels out there?
Where?
In the back of our yard here.
You know, I would hate to lose real estate. For a number of reasons, not just snow removal, and I think about what we had to do last year to mitigate the flood, and I would be more in favor of splitting it between here and Cottonwood.
Yeah.
I mean, because if we have a max of 50 kilowatts that we're able to request, and it doesn't matter if we put them all at one station or split them between two stations, the savings is the savings.
Right.
for the district. So to me, I don't know, it wouldn't really matter if we split them up.
So, but it's 50 what kilowatts for the battery or for the meter, per meter, or is it per?
You can go 50 kilowatts per meter. That's the Northwestern Energy rule, well, the state law. It's
so
Northwestern
splitting 50 could be, but it also you could have 250s.
And what did you think we could put on this building, on the roofs?
I don't know, because we didn't analyze the roof. We just said, 72,000 kilowatt hours, let's just put it on the ground against a fence line. But if that's, if real estate is not going to happen, then we would go to the roof. So I can just get up there and measure it in the next week.
Okay.
And climb up there and put a tape to it, because I can't see it in Google Earth yet, because it's too new.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it'd be awesome to move forward with trying and see what we can do. I don't know what you guys think.
Board questions?
Do we have the resource to manage the grant application, reporting, timeliness, all that?
Good question. How do you feel about it?
I don't know how many hours of work that is.
Hours of work? What?
For managing the grant.
Managing the grant?
Applying, managing, reporting, all the things in the fine print.
There's no reporting, thankfully. With the USDA grant, there is, which you may know about. And it's pretty minimal. It's about 15 minutes once a year. But the Northwestern Energy Grant, there's no reporting. They pay for the they pay their money 30 days after the system's been running, and that's it. You're done. Doing the grant, that's, I don't know what you guys' opinion about gathering those letters of support. That's pretty much the main thing.
It's hours.
Yeah, sure. But hours for $40,000, so it's,
Well, that's the question for staff.
That's exactly right. I think that the way we should proceed is, it seems like there's general interest in the board, and we just need to toss this into your lap and see what you think about it, follow your recommendation.
Yeah.
If you're like, the opportunity cost is too high, then that's what it is. I mean, I have no way of judging it. So.
I mean, we could approach it in the way that we will do what we can do to collect, whether it's letters or we can create a nice petition that when people come to the pancake breakfast, when they come to the front table, we ask them politely, would you be interested in signing a petition for us to get a grant for a solar system, which saves you money as a taxpayer, and it'd be hard to imagine them not signing that.
Right.
And we can do what we can do and apply for the grant. If we get it, we get it. Awesome. If we don't, we don't. I mean, it's...
You have to shovel more coal.
Right. I'm burning tires right now. That's how we eat red. That's why the bills are so low. We just burn tires.
Some big tires.
Blast furnace.
Nice.
So Nick mentioned the point that, of course, my sitting here doesn't mean you guys owe me anything. And I do this sort of thing all the time with nonprofits, and it's kind of my mission, because if I'm not sitting here, you guys aren't learning about it, and you don't know about the opportunity. So so I would donate my time to do my end of the grant. I've got it down to a fine art. It takes me about 4 hours to do, and I'll turn it over to you, and then you can submit it, and or not. And I can put you in touch with the guy who's the point man for the grant program, who's great to work with. He's in Butte at the Northwest Energy office. And
so you install the panels, that's your business, right?
Yeah, I design, install, engineer.
Okay.
So once we have the grant, if you helped us with the grant, then we would put out a request for panels to fit the design. Get the competitiveness in that, then we would pay whoever, and then that's where you get well if you're selected. Or
if I'm lucky enough to win the bid, then good for me. If not, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Anything else on that? So you'll muck around and think about
Totally willing to give it a shot if the board is interested in it.
All right. Thank you, John.
You bet.
Very helpful.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Nick. Recognition. Richard and Thank you, Johnson. Cat in a tree.
Bedrooms at Ray House.
Sorry, bedrooms at Ray House.
Well, I mean, do we want, do you guys want to make a decision on the solar panel thing to move forward with it by board action?
Look, I think you got to tell us, like, if you say, let's put a petition out, you'll get 500 signatures for sure. And you have a call with John and say, okay, John, I got 500 signatures. You know, I'm not going to chase around the science teacher at Morningstar Elementary. What else? I mean,
he said October. What was our thing?
31st is when the grant.
I just think because this involves an expenditure of dollars, and it's not free, right? I mean, we're going to have to pay some of it. I would think the board would want to vote on approving that expenditure.
Well, I would say, first of all, I want to let you think on it overnight and see what you really think about this. I mean, do you feel like you need to call that guy up again? Call John up again and ask him more questions? I just don't know. I mean, I'm with you. Real estate, got to go on the roof.
Yeah.
So he needs to come back and measure that. You know, we're under no obligation. If we made a decision tonight, we can make a decision to give the grant back. So I don't think we need to do anything formal. I think you need to really poke around a little bit and say, you know what? I spent a couple hours looking into this, and I'm not so fired up about it.
Mostly it's the time it's going to take to manage that process.
Right.
And Nick, I got the sense this grant program's been out for a while and is going to keep going.
Well, who knows about keep going, but I had a U.S. B grant my own personal system 11 years ago.
Right.
And I also got a USDA rural development grant for my system. And so I've been full of
process. Back when you lived in the frontier?
Yeah.
It's tough to get those around here now. Too big.
What does USDA stand for? Does anybody know?
Department of Ag.
No, USB. Grant.
What's the question?
What does USB stand for?
Universal Service benefit or something like that. It's what's the dollar or $2 collected on everybody's bill, and that allows Northwest Energy to hire people to teach about solar and to do all kinds of things related to grants related to solar.
I have been through this process on a personal basis with my last house, and it was a Northwestern Energy grant. And he is not lying. There is no reporting. I mean, and he will. I mean, this is the deal: is that he's making money
installing the system.
You know, he's selling it at retail, right? But he's getting this grant from money from Northwestern Energy, and then our portion of it. And he's writing the grant because normally he would never sell that system,
right?
And it really is a pretty simple process.
Yeah.
If the board is interested in spending the money on it.
And well, I think that, again, it's to be determined if we're interested in spending the money based on your recommendation.
Okay.
And so, you know, we don't know how much money we'd have to spend because we don't know how much grant we'd have to get. So that decision that needs to be properly noticed is way down the road.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a motion on that, it'd be the direct staff to come back with a recommendation about whether it's worth their time.
Okay. Well, I'll get a hold of him and set up a time for him to come up and look at the roof. And he and I can talk about Cottonwood. And I think, Ray, I don't know if it's really worth doing. We just don't have enough electric use over there. We use natural gas to heat the building, and it has so little use. But for these two buildings, and just come up with an idea what that might
be. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're interested in it. So, I mean,
it's...
He's a little bit of a hippie.
Well... If it's a four-year payback, then that's super reasonable.
Yeah, but
I mean, when I put my system in, it was not a four-year payback, but
there's
been technology improvements. And
right.
I can say that solar power is very maintenance-free,
right?
Especially if you get the batteries out of the mix.
Yeah.
It's a pretty maintenance-free system. And so I have no objection to it at a four-year payback.
Yeah, I don't either. My only objection would be, what else could you be doing? You know,
I really don't think it'll take.
Okay, so yeah, just
I'm going to dump it on Brian.
There you go.
I mean, so I love it.
So just report, let's have an agenda item next
okay.
month. Just give us a report.
Okay.
It can be a part of the chief's report.
Okay. Will do.
I'm certainly willing to work on the grant or this business of the educational part or writing up some things to add to it, work with them, work with Jason, work with Brian, whatever. Yeah. I frankly feel that if we get an 80% grant to do this, to pay off in that regard, I think we're going to have a lot more money down the road to build new stations or buy new equipment.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Bedrooms at Ray. What the heck's that all about?
What?
We put it on as a, you put it on as an agenda item, as a discussion. That's our growth. That's where the stuff is happening in the future. What is it? What are we looking at to be able to
right.
expand our capability at Ray for our sleepers? Because that's where the call volume is going to be as we move forward.
Yeah.
How many bedrooms do we have there now?
Three.
So is there a thought on we go from 3 to 5 or 3 to 6 or? Or is that premature? Is there a principal question we have to answer first?
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I have no concept of the Ray, or of the Harn, we're talking about the Harn House.
Yeah.
I have no concept of what return on our investment we get from that as a rental in a time of high rental in this valley. That said, I understand there's a good thing to have firemen renting in there, because we want to convert that into a sleeper program, similar to what we have here. And what's that going to cost in terms of the rooms and the number of beds? I have no idea how many beds are in there now. The one thing we didn't do on our tour that day, Jason, didn't go in the Harn House.
Right.
And so I guess I would like some background as to what we see for that. How long is that building going to be there? Because I think with the growth going on out here, that building may be gone in 10 years and the new station. And so what's the payback on something?
And maybe the question isn't right. It shouldn't probably be more bedrooms. It's how do we deliver our service in the area where we're going to have the most growth? And that is typically related to the number of bodies we can put on a truck in 3 minutes or less, right?
And that's a great question.
That's probably a better question to say that. I just jump straight to how are we going to put more people there?
Yeah. Or maybe we remodel the state, the other place, and put more beds in there. I don't know what that might be, but that's a lot
correct
plan than just adding some beds.
Correct. I think that, but that's a 5-6 year plan, and if we don't start now.
Well, so I guess the question would be, which is where we're driving at, is we wouldn't want to do anything and then 3 years later rip the place down and build something new, right? So what are we thinking long term, that is going to be our next station?
Yeah, oh yeah, well, there's
okay
no doubt that
right
at some point that will get mowed down. It'll be a scraper and that's where we'll build new station.
The question then becomes, what's the return on investment in the interim to doing a remodel or an addition or whatever the heck we're going to do there? Does that frame it?
Well, that's certainly part of it. And if we're right now, I understand it's not a sleeper program per se. It's a rental to some firemen who happen to be volunteers, and they pay
the
rent.
Yes and no.
Well, see, that's what I don't understand.
I'll be happy to explain.
Yeah.
So when we built this station, we had this concept of 8 bunk rooms, resident firefighters. They get free rent in exchange for shift duties that they do. And the idea was that not only are they covering the shift duties, but when they're here doing homework or whatever people do at their homes, they're also available to go on calls. And it's been incredibly successful. Incredibly successful. And we have metrics to prove it. It's been very, very successful. Then we had the opportunity to buy the land over by Ray Station, where the Harn House is. And the idea when we bought it...
Same thing.
Okay. Same thing.
Different location.
Oh. Neat. So the idea when we bought it was just for the future. Mm-hmm. But then we took a look at the house and said, it's not that bad. little bit of paint, new carpet, seal the floor where the stains are. and we figured that putting three people in it was about the maximum that wouldn't turn it into
animals.
Correct. It's been extraordinarily successful, but they don't do shifts. What they do instead is we have a set rent amount. If they make a certain percentage of calls every month, which is greater than what's expected of a normal firefighter, and if they make a certain amount of trainings each month, they get a reduced rent. So we incentivize response to the race station. It has also been very successful, but in a different way. What they're not, the problem with the resident program here is they can't have beer, you can't have girlfriends and boyfriends spend the night, and it's a restricted environment. The house over there is a rental unit, non-attached to the fire station, little more leeway in lifestyle. We've never had it abused at any point, but it's the next step to adulthood for our, in all three people that live there right now used to live here, but they got jobs where they're on shift work, like for the Yellowstone Club Fire Department and AMR, where they can't do a weekend, every third weekend, because they're constantly rotating their shifts. So it's a perfect evolution for that. We have thrown around a number of interim concepts over at Ray to get more people living there. One was that we could rip the roof off of the Ray station and build resident bunks above it. Would it be a good long-term investment? I don't know. That'd be a $200,000, $250,000 project, even on the cheap side. If we're going to eventually build a station, I don't know if that's the best investment. Then I thought maybe, what if we got a manufactured mobile home? I bet you we could get a good deal from the Ray Water and Sewer District since we just really helped them out. I'm sure that they would be happy to help us connect to their system. But then I talked to one of our former board members, Mr. Chuck Wyman, who said the only problem with that is the resale on that is really poor, because you can't get a mortgage on a mobile home. You have to find a cash buyer for it. So there's a few issues. Another potential is eventually I have to believe that the old vet clinic across the street is going to come for sale. It's on a nice piece of property, lots of parking, and it would have some resale value to it. I don't know, maybe the trailer right next door, which is a really nice trailer in King Arthur, might come for sale, and that might have a little more resale value. So there's some options out there. Exactly what we should do, I'm not sure. Because we all know that eventually we're going to build a new station there. That's, to me, and maybe you guys don't see it, it's a foregone conclusion. So then the question is, do we just build it sooner?
How do we get from now and the call volume between now and when we're ready to?
Yeah, what we've been very fortunate, it's certainly not guaranteed, is that a number of our people rent.
In King Arthur?
Across the street in the neighborhoods there behind Wrestler. We have a fair amount of people who either, Sammy Saunders owns a house over there. Will Charlton lives over there, rental, and because it's a reasonable place to rent for college students, get three or four of them in one of those houses, and there's lots of rental properties in there. So we've been pretty fortunate, and we're not, I mean, Brian, tell me if I'm wrong, but we don't struggle like we used to staff Ray Station for calls.
Yeah, it's kind of fluctuating.
Yeah.
It's gone up and down. It depends on where people are renting. If they're renting in Woodland Parks or Falcon Hollow, it's good. Or if they move out of those rentals, it'll go down.
So just thinking about the impetus for trying to get this station, which took us about a decade to get, and I think it won't take that long next time. But there were clear metrics and justification and, worn out this and worn out that. Do you have in your mind a line of metrics that would say now is the time to start to plan for the station? call volume, turnover in resident sleepers because of Ray Health shag carpet, and I was fired up about that.
Yeah.
Because that's really the question. JJ said maybe we should start now instead of 3 years. Maybe we should start now.
Yeah, the we can certainly bring to the board, a breakdown of where our calls are occurring and how long it's taking us to respond to those calls. As far as the way we sold this station, this has been so wildly successful that we have even more. I mean, we now have really hard number. Before, we were speculating, right? I mean, we were saying, we think this is going to work. And it has worked beyond what we even thought it would work. And so we would have great justification. There's a question of the market. People are saying there's a recession coming. It'd certainly be worth it to wait for construction costs.
Yeah.
A couple years for things to cool down. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but we certainly have enough justification. But what we can do is we can bring to the board some harder numbers and some analysis of where our calls are occurring and how we're staffing calls over here versus how we're staffing calls over there.
Right,
we can certainly do that.
That is all really good data, and I look forward to seeing them. But just qualitatively, what do you think? I mean, do you think we ought to get our giddy up on and get this station going faster?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Again, only because this has been so incredibly successful.
No, I mean, this is really helpful because then, I would say, well, let's not do anything with the Harn House. Let's just get right on it and figure out how I'm going to pitch that and what the finances look like and all that kind of stuff. But, this is one of the reasons why we started setting aside some money to do architectural, whatever, legal, whatever we need to do. But if you're already seeing, we want to be there before the light is blinking red.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, without a doubt, and I will always be completely honest about this. When I was in Big Sky, I was not thinking far enough ahead.
Right.
I should have secured more real estate when I should. There's a lot of things that I look back at. I'm really proud that we bought that property. I think that was absolutely the right thing to do when we did it. And I do, my gut feeling is that that will be, if we do very similar to what we did here, over there, I think it will be just as successful.
Well, one thing I'd like to see on the agenda so the public can be informed, let's just call it what it is. So it's preliminary planning for new Ray station.
Yeah.
Now we'll just call it discussion. And that may take 6, 8, 12, 18 months, I don't know. But I'd like it to be that obvious on the agenda so people can come and start to.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great way to get in that conversation, but it's pretty clear to me we don't want to do anything to the Harn House. Let's just get into this process, right? Yeah. Is that what you guys think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just to give you a little bit of perspective of how successful this whole thing has been is, if you look at what we're doing here, and we're going to do about 600 calls this year, we have 3 full-time employees. We now have moved to having a part-time maintenance assistant, which is working out better than expected, and we have Cheryl as part-time. So that's a total of 4 full-time FTEs to do 600 calls a year. The Big Sky Fire Department maybe will do 900 calls this year. They have 28 full-time paid firefighters. They have a fire chief. They have an operations chief. They have a deputy chief.
They have
3 battalion chiefs. They have 2 administrative assistants.
Do they have 3 battalions?
I don't know. I'm just telling you the positions that they have. So what I'm saying is we are really doing a lot with a lot less than what other people are spending. And I'm very proud of that. And I think what we're doing with our volunteers in the resident program is a key element to that.
So it'd be really cool if you dig up the architectural plans for this and go start talking to an architect. It's like, we want this with that different and that different.
Yeah.
But, if this has worked so well.
Yeah.
And there I was, trying to ease you into this whole thing, and then you guys just go pull the trigger. I'm thinking about, how do we get the next couple of 5 years? And you get the fucker.
Well, there is further development proposals on that end of the district.
No, Woodland Park is.
Yeah, yeah. No question.
I mean, we definitely want to be ahead of all this stuff, so let's just get after it. We might not make a decision for 2 years, but we won't do anything unless we start planning it. We have that money set aside to hire architects. And so if you came to us next month, if you're ready, or the month after, and said, here's my plan to do initial scoping, whatever the hell you want to call it, right? Preliminary thinking.
Right.
And I'm going to go see an architect, I got to go see the sewer department, and whatever else you have to do. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay.
May I speak?
Nick, you can always speak.
I'd like not to be interrupted, but I would like to speak, and I would like to say that I've been believing and very grateful for that piece of ground. I think the metrics need to be coming along. I don't think we want to scare the public in this given time. Law and justice centers and blah, 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 blah. Anderson School, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's wanting more money. I think we want to get to the end result. So I would say we want to have preliminary discussions or ideas or thoughts. I think we need to build the amount of growth on a timely basis. What was it last year? What's it next year? What's the third year? I think we ought to target something maybe in 3 years. It may come sooner. We may see it come sooner. It may come to fruition. It may be sparked by the very good idea that you have or somebody has getting the sleeper program and safety because of the down in that center thing. That could all come together, but I don't think we want to push a concept right now that we are going to hire an architect and get full speed right now to get a new building. We know it's coming. We need to keep preparing our public to do that. I think we've got good public involvement being developed. I think something at the pancake breakfast that we could do even sooner to did you know that we have the Harn station or the high, whatever. Here's the growth over in some area. Here are the number of calls. There are some things that we could be doing to build that up. But I think the public right now, boy, I think you'd have a fight.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any disagreement with the way you're thinking and the way I'm thinking, but we just got to get started. So it's data gathering. And yeah. Like you said, metrics. And
right.
I think it's a really good idea to start at the pancake breakfast. If we have this property out here, all this kind of stuff. And, but we won't go anywhere until we get a little more information. And I view this as a long, you know, multi-month, if not multi-year process. But we won't be able to make an informed decision. And Jason may come up with some data that says, well, that was not what I thought it was. Maybe we should do something else instead.
So, well, I agree. I mean, that's part of the learning.
Yeah.
So do we need to move staff to start developing, getting us some data that indicates activity growth?
Yeah, we'll do.
In God we trust, everybody else show data.
We don't believe in facts.
And figure out what you want to call this as an agenda item, because it should be transparent. But, you know, to Nick's point is we don't want to spook people. So if you want to just give some thought on, like, preliminary data gathering on growth in the district near the race station, something like that. You'll figure it out.
I think some kind of ongoing part, maybe a part of the chief report. I don't know where we put it, but,
yeah.
But it's something that, well, with area growth, et cetera, and there's a report on a timely basis that shows this increased pressure that's coming along to.
But what I would like, Nick, and I think this gets to your point about, you know, building trust with the public. I want them to look at that agenda item and they're like, bedrooms at the Ray House? That does not reflect the conversation that we had here, right?
Right. No.
So if you want to call it area growth management planning and data gathering or whatever, I think it's really important that people who are interested can come in really far upstream.
Absolutely.
And hear how we're thinking about it. So that's my point. Okay, you good?
Yep.
You good?
Beautiful.
Excellent. Recognition. Is that you?
I think Nick asked for this to be put on, but I'm happy to present to the board what happened. I don't know if everybody saw the article.
I did not, but...
In the paper. But it's a very sweet story about us getting called on a Saturday for a lady with a cat in a tree.
No lie.
It's not the first time it's happened. And she was incredibly concerned about the cat. I think it had been up there for 4 days, had talked to a vet, was worried about the cat not having water and kidney failure and all that. And in the fire department did exactly what they were supposed to do. They said, we just don't have the apparatus or tools or ability to fix your problem. Our command officer at the moment, John Culbertson, gave her some names of arborists and other things as ideas of how to get this cat out of the tree. You know, people who deal with trees.
If not cats.
Yeah. So the guys eventually went home, but two of our residents here, once they got home, understanding our risk management model, got out of uniform, got their climbing equipment, and went back over there in a personal vehicle and told that lady,
we're going to get your cat.
We're going to get your cat out of the tree. And they used climbing equipment and anchor systems and made their way up.
So they put it on my risk management. Nice.
Yep. They represented themselves as members of Gallatin County Search and Rescue. and they got the cat out of the tree, and she was absolutely delighted.
Yeah.
It's awesome. A great customer service moment that you can't even plan for, but we have good people.
Yes.
We have good people.
What kind of recognition would you like from the board?
Just at least a letter or a commendation letter or something that would... recognize that above and beyond the call. I just think it's important.
I do too. Okay. I'm just thinking about the logistics of it. Would you like to draft a letter for us?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, I'll put together something for that.
And if it's, like a gift card to a restaurant or something, I don't know, whatever.
I'd be happy to do something like that. They love food. My goodness.
That's how you hire them, how much food they
love. Yes.
So I don't know, like $100?
I think just a gift certificate to some place.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Need any more direction than that?
Nope.
Don't spend $1 million.
Okay.
Don't spend $10 million.
So, Mr. Chairman, while we're on the recognition, are we doing some kind of a plaque or something for Lana? I'd love to do a plaque for Lana. She did a great job, I think.
Yeah.
And it's still going to help at some point, I think, too. So I would sure like to... I thought the chief was at least going to take her out for lunch, but she said it did indicate he was going to do that. So
that happened.
Oh, it did happen. Oh, very good. Nice.
But I might suggest to you guys, just in all pragmatism, that a plaque probably would be less appreciated than a gift certificate for dinner somewhere or something nice like that.
And a nice picture of her boys.
Of her what?
Her boys.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, I think she'd be more delighted with a gift card of some sort. So we can work on that.
A recognition.
It's a sense of the board. We're all about recognition. I will leave you to do the details. Does that work for you?
Yep.
Does that work for everybody? Okay. Fire Chief's report.
All right. So,
October 5th, pancake breakfast.
I missed the front end of the meeting. Did you guys all meet Cheryl?
We did.
Okay.
I sent this text to her husband. I see you found a way to keep tabs on me. He said, damn straight.
So Cheryl has started with us, and she's doing wonderfully. And Lon and her spent a bunch of time together, and I think she's stepping up exactly how we expected her to. So we're very excited about having her here. We also hired Colin Prado as our part-time maintenance assistant, and he's started work. You guys all know Colin. He's been on the department for
probably
about 6 years as a volunteer, his whole time at MSU. He graduated with a construction management degree, worked for Teton Heritage Builders, and now is a full-time firefighter at the Yellowstone Club, and lives at the Ray House, and has always had an interest in our equipment and vehicle maintenance, so it was a no-brainer for him, and he's already created a new tracking system for our apparatus and equipment. I mean, he has hit the ground running, and he's just... He's doing a fantastic job, and he's just salt of the earth guy. Salt of the earth guy. So that's exciting for us.
Is he capable of doing like Pierce warranty work? I mean, would you ever send him to a Pierce warranty training class or something like that? Would that make sense?
We can certainly send him to pump school, but warranty work has got to be done by the Pierce guy, who lives outside of Missoula and is a retired, was the mechanic for Missoula Fire. For his whole career, and he's a good guy. Yeah. So, but not warranty work, but we can absolutely send him to pump school and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just like we did with Chris. Otherwise, we had a pretty significant structure fire, and I'll let Brian kind of tell you guys a little bit about that since he was on duty for that fire. It was on Patterson Road.
Yeah, I think it was June or July 30th during the evening. But fairly good size house, two-story single family dwelling, but large square footage, and started in a fairy house on the side of the exterior of the main
house. What kind of house?
Well, it was referred to as a fairy house. I don't exactly know the purpose of those or what, but apparently
it's houses fairies.
Exactly.
Play with fire.
Unfortunately, they were burning incense in their fairy house. The fairy house caught on fire, which then caught the main house on fire. And it was just a classic, lit the siding on fire, went straight up, hit the soffit of the roof, and went into the attic, and it was off to the races from there. But we had a great response from our guys. We got three engine companies out on it, water tender from our department, and our support vehicle. The new rescue truck got to pump on it, did outstanding. And our guys, first arriving guys, were fairly new, but they did an outstanding job. Mike Hilbert, who was the IC of the incident, I was just overwhelming him with information. Did an amazing job, and he was a very new IC. We only cleared him to do incident command like 3 weeks prior to the event, and he just did an outstanding job of commanding.
Also a resident here.
Yeah, one of our residents here. But really did a good step. I mean, the house is still standing depending on what they do to it, but for having a, you know, I don't know what it was, 3,500 square foot home with a well-involved attic fire, and the fact that our guys and the help had just great help from Bozeman Fire and all of our mutual aid partners, but when us being able to stop the fire where we did and still have the building still standing, and I'm sure the homeowners were able to get most of their possessions still in good shape, was really incredible for what it was.
So the Fort Ellis Gateway?
Yeah, so we had Bozeman Fire, Fort Ellis, Gateway, and Central Valley. And then we requested additional help from Amsterdam and Manhattan for water, but actually ended up canceling them because we had it taken care of.
Nice. The mess of those fairies.
You tried to kill your wife and you came back with Ebola?
Yeah, Ebola.
Nice.
But I don't know any fairies live in my house. Or any incense or whatever.
It's the magic wands. Those tips get hot on those magic wands.
Well, that's great training that you have in incident relativity and incident commander. Knocked it out of the park, so congratulations all around.
Yeah, I mean, that's our third structure fire this summer, and they've all been saved. Yeah. So the guys, our firefighters, are just doing phenomenal work for us.
Awesome.
Yeah. We also had a very significant call up and highlight. With a five-year-old drowning.
Oh, yeah.
Up there.
Tragic.
Yeah, pretty big deal. Again, our guys, I mean, given the long response time, I mean, that is just...
Is that 20 minutes?
It takes forever.
It takes forever to get up there. But the guy, again, the guys did a wonderful job. We launched Reach Air, the air ambulance, who was there. AMR was there. Search and Rescue actually had one of their great volunteers who just happened to be in the area and went up to help. Jeff Maggard, he was a great assistance, helped land the helicopter. And so it was a great effort. And but unfortunately, a poor outcome.
Yeah.
But great effort on everybody's part.
Did that kid just get away from the parents?
Yeah.
Back's turned, and all of a sudden. And then,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Just it's the parents' worst nightmare.
Yeah.
otherwise, everything's going pretty well. Again, like Brian said, our new rescue truck is in service and doing really well, and all the guys really like it. We took the old rescue and did the transformation to a support vehicle. So that's our Cascade system and food and water type vehicle. We may think about maybe putting an awning on it or something so we can get some shade for rehab at fires. But otherwise, it's functioning as we'd like it to function without having to put any money into it at all. You think anything else, Brian? We start another recruit academy in September.
We sent a water tender up to Helena for 24 hours for the North Hills fire. Two volunteers did a 24-hour shift.
You guys at Catapalooza?
Yeah. Yes. We had a rescue in the Sweet Pea Parade this year.
Nice. Any other questions for the chief? Chief support. Trustee activities. Nick, you've been active as heck. Thank you. You've been active. Thank you.
You're welcome.
On behalf of the district. Anything else? Pancake breakfast, the big deal coming up next, right?
October 5. And this year, we're putting a team of two on it this year, Sammy Saunders and Colin Prado. they've agreed to take the helm of that giant ship, and I think they'll do a great job.
We're going to have a board table there and a sign-up sheet for the...
Whatever you solar. Guys want.
I'm asking the board. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I think we would
want I think we should, for sure.
We have volunteers.
Yeah.
I've got it on my calendar.
I got it on my calendar, too.
So I'm terribly unreliable, it turns out.
You were there the last one, and I know people were walking over to visit with you. I was sitting at the table with him. I was amazed at how many people came over.
He's a big deal.
Yeah, real deal. So it really, like,
you showed him your card tricks? Is that what it was?
I was just wearing a funny hat.
All right, next board meeting. That would be the 16th of September. Is that no? The 17th. I will be here, but that doesn't mean you guys can't meet without me.
No.
I could do the 10th.
10th
or the 24th.
Shit.
I could do the 10th or the 24th.
24th would be better for me.
It would be for me too.
Think it's 24th?
Given that
Justin?
We have four meetings that month.
All right. 24th. Same bad time, same bad channel. Cheryl, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
See y'all in a month.
I have another